Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 45, chapter 10, The Nature of Fruit of Activity. Sri Krishna continued, My dear Uddhava, I have thus explained to you perfect knowledge. There are philosophers, however, who challenge my conclusion. They state that the natural position of the living entity is to engage in fruit of activities, and they see him as the enjoyer of the happiness and unhappiness that accrue from his own work. Right, so that the living entity is active in that, that is inherent in the living entity. But that is for him to enjoy and suffer what he does himself, that's then where the problem comes in. Because if it's performing activities in connection with Krishna, then it works out very nicely. Then he also enjoys in that there's no suffering. But when he tries to do this separate from Krishna, that's where the problem starts. Right, so we can see here, is that's the first point here with Jaimini, is that the living entity trying to enjoy the work, the results of the work that they performed, rather than that work is performed to please Krishna.
Yes.
According to this materialistic philosophy, the world, time, the revealed scriptures, and the self are all variegated and eternal. Right? So they all exist eternally, and they have separate existences. So it's not all one. Existing as a perpetual flow of transformations. So yes, everything's transforming, and so they're taking it that the transformation is going to be the cause of all the happiness that you can gain. But, so in the spiritual world, there is also seeming transformation, in that it creates variety, but because it's all connected to Krishna, then there's always happiness. Right? So to mimic that, then there's constant change here, but because it comes out as whatever you're attached to, it's about the thing itself, right? In the spiritual world, you're attached to Krishna. So if the situation changes, it's just a variety in connection with Krishna. Right? But when there's no Krishna, then all you have is the variety. And now it's this variety, you like that one, you don't. Let's just like say you have a meal. Okay? Now, you can take that meal in various environments. Right? You could sit, you know, in the dining room. You know, you could put it on a plate and go sit in front of the television. You could go out on a picnic. You could have it out on the back patio. You know what I'm saying? You could go out and go to someone else's house, go to a restaurant. So what the point is it's the meal. And so then that you're having the meal, then the variety of places then simply adds to it. Right? But now if there's no meal, you just have sitting in the dining room, sitting in front of the television, sitting out on the back patio, sitting in a different building, sitting out in the park. Then it won't be about the meal, so the variety is not that. Now you'll like, now who's going to want to sit in the dining room? There's nothing happening in there. Okay, in front of the television, not so bad. Out in the back patio, okay, you can, you know, a little fresh air, a few birds chirping or this and that. Okay, 5 minutes, now we're good. Right? Go to the park, okay, you can walk a little bit, you know, you get in a little bit more, then, you know, you understand? Mm-hmm. So then we choose. We like this, we don't like this, this makes me happy, that doesn't, because it doesn't have the actual substance. So the variety in the spiritual world is simply to enhance their relationship with Krishna. While in the material world, the variety here is going to create happiness and distress. Because it's a situation I like, I'm happy, it changes, I will be distressed, because it will change. Or if it doesn't change to something I like, I will also not be happy. You know, it's like, you know, the modern 100 channels, and no matter which one you change it to, there's nothing to watch. Right? So So this perpetual flow of transformations in the spiritual world, everything's eternal, but it takes on different forms and flavors just to enhance the rasa. But here, it's changing. It'll also enhance the rasa, but that rasa includes being unhappy.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
What? It seems the main difference between spiritual and material. In material, it's created and destroyed, but there it's just transforming. It's never created, never destroyed.
Yes, yes. You have that. But the perception is because it's on the primary, it's a background, and it's pleasant. Right? Does that make sense?
On the primary meaning?
On Krishna.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Krishna. So therefore, the background is nice.
Yeah.
But in the material world, you don't have Krishna. So all there is the background. So then everybody makes it about the background and how good a background you have and what kind of background you have. You know, it means everything that's there, there's only secondary. So it's all about the secondary. You know, let us say a Krura has come. A Krura has his chariot. Krishna's getting on the chariot. Right? The Brajbasis are trying to stop the chariot. Does it matter what the chariot is?
No.
It's all about Krishna. It happens to be for that pastime. He's going. Chariot means he can leave. It's not that if he was there with Indra's chariot with, 10,000 horses and, like this, then everybody go, okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, it's like that. It simply adds to the pastime. Right? They come back in the evening. So when the cowherd boys, then Krishna's going to go home. Right? They're going to go to their home. So then there's that separation there. This is another variety of it. Does that make sense? So it's just varieties within the flavors. While here, all it is transformation of the secondary. And like you say, then there it's eternal. It's just the energy giving variety. While here, the actual form in that is destroyed. The energies that are doing that, they're always there. But the manifestation of it, then that's all we have, because we're perceiving it with the body, which is temporary, and so therefore it can perceive other things that are temporary. And so then that becomes a problem. But if you add in the primary, even here, then the change doesn't bother you, because you see everything connected to Krishna. So you get the same effect, even though you're functioning in the inferior reality. Set. Yeah. Okay. Knowledge, moreover, cannot be one or eternal, because it arises from the different and changing forms of objects. Thus, knowledge itself is always subject to change. So, knowledge of the material knowledge is based on the material objects, which are constantly changing. So, material knowledge keeps changing. That's why every few years they have to change their theories. Means they have to, because the knowledge, the environment's changing, so therefore they have to change it. So only that which connected with the Veda, which is connected with Krishna, even though the Veda is just connected to Krishna, that's eternal. That you don't have to, that's not going to change. So that's why then the idea that, since the culture is the practice of the philosophy, therefore if your culture you're following is based actually on the Veda, it doesn't change. You can say, oh, but everything else has changed. That's because you're just having the spiritual material at one place at one time. But it doesn't mean. That's like saying the soul, okay, they're in a young body, they can't do soul stuff, they have to play. Right? Oh, now the soul's in an adolescent body, now they have to run around to be idiots. Right? Now they have to, they get a little bit older, now they have to commit to this idiotness. Right? And then they get a little bit older, and then, now idiotness, that now they can't even do anything. So depending on the younger guys, they're called real idiots now. Right? And then you definitely got to be an idiot then to, renounce and go off to the forest. Right? So does that make sense? So just the varieties of idiotness.
Yes.
like that. So, but the soul at any stage can be Krishna conscious. You know, so the stories of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj show that. You know, or Ajamil, right? And he's a bit, you know, older, I have to say. You know? So, yeah. So the soul can always function. So the idea that, oh no, this Vedic culture can't function now, it's Kali Yuga, things are changed, that means one doesn't actually understand what one's dealing with. You think it's just another mundane variation. But it's not. Right? So, even if you accept, so because the modern changes, we think the spiritual has to change. Right? So that's the same as we see these other philosophies, where they attribute the, you know, temporariness to God because of, you know, things are temporary here. So it's the same. It's still mundane. You understand? Otherwise, you wouldn't catch this.
It's like a projection. Projection.
Yeah. You're projecting. Yes. Okay. Even if you accept such a philosophy, my dear Uddhava, there will still be perpetual birth, death, old age, and disease. Even if you take it that, okay, we'll work with karma,
yes,
it's changing, but that changing will give variety, and so if we're always following good karma, we'll always get good variety, so we'll always be happy, but you'll still be subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. And that's never good for the soul, because these four, they just don't relate to. Right? Since all living entities must accept a material body subject to the influence of time, right? Therefore, even if they have good karma, there's birth, there's death, old age, and disease. Everybody's going to die, even Brahma.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. If you protest and take shelter of the followers of Jaimini who argue with the above conclusions, please listen to the truth. If you accept that the varieties of places, time, scriptures, bodies, happiness, and suffering, the result of karmas, experienced by the jivas are eternal, according to the followers of karma, then repeated birth will continue. Right? Means you're accepting this, but then you have to take birth to accept the new karma, because the body will go away. The followers of Jaimini say that detachment is not possible. However, one should become detached since all the various places of enjoyment are temporary. The time of enjoyment, the scriptures which give the method for enjoyment, and the body for enjoying are all temporary. Right? Because they're all giving those things. Because even the scriptures give those method. If it's written by Jaimini, it's definitely temporary. Right? So these will go away. Right? Then they'll be manifest again. Don't worry. Next Kali Yuga, they'll be back. You know, or next creation. But the Veda itself is aparushe, it's unspoken, it's eternal. So the conclusion of the Veda or Vedanta, that's eternal. All these other philosophies, all these other methods, they're all temporary. That's why they're called aparavidya. You know, or if it's not connected to Krishna, then it's called avidya, or ignorance. But they maintain the opposite, right, the Jaiminis. They say these items are all eternal. They say there can be no detachment from objects simply because of separation from the objects of enjoyment, or because they are made of maya. All objects like garlands, sandalwood, and women are firmly established, samsta, by their nature. They are eternal since they continually appear. Right? They claim that the world will never perish. The world has no lord. The world is substantial, yata, not made of maya. They say there is no eternal knowledge arriving from Atma, right? Because then you'd have to go into something else. One becomes aware of differing forms like pots and cloth, tut, tut. Thus, knowledge itself is temporary, having a beginning and is fragmented. Right? So, for them, these aren't a problem because they're working on the principle, well, they'll always be. You know, it's like, you know, like, what is it, the saying, there's so many fish in the ocean? Like that. Something goes wrong, you just take the next one. So they just go on and on like this. So whatever happens, they're the next one. So, but their point is if you're pious, you'll always be getting pious results. Even though it's temporary, but you'll always be getting pious results.
Yes.
Yeah, and the body may die, but then you get another one.
Yes.
And then you can go on and join.
Yes.
Right? But it doesn't, like Krishna said, it doesn't solve the problem of birth, death, old age, and disease, because that part is not nice. So why would you take up something like that, this, you know, being the eternal optimist, when you could go back to Godhead? Performing the same work with detachment, you could go back to Godhead. So they're taking the principle of the soul, then is you know, attachment is not possible to give up. Yes, the soul can't give up having no sense of attachment, but they can have attachment to transcendence and give up the attachment to something material. Just like we see even on the material platform, someone will give up attachment to a lower material item for a higher material item.
Yes.
So it says, even an animal will do it. You know, they have something and you want it and you have something better. You know, like in Vrindavan, they have your glasses, you have a banana. You know, they'll trade the banana for the glasses. Like that. You know, your dog has something that you want, like your shoe, and you have something else that it wants, and then it will let go of your shoe to get the, you know, whatever it is, the biscuit or whatever it is that the dogs are into. Right? Does that make sense? You know, or they'll give up that shoe for a better shoe, right? You know, like that. Why they should be chewing on a plastic shoe when they could be chewing on your special $600 leather shoes, right? You know, come on. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? So, attachment is there, but you give it, they're doing it themselves, so why you would stop at the material? Why won't you go for the spiritual? It's eternal. They're saying these things are eternal. Yes, they keep rotating, but you can be in a situation where it doesn't rotate. Your situation is eternal, because here, the situation is always temporary. In the spiritual world, it's always permanent. Right? The relationships don't change. You come out of your house, you go to Nanda Bhavan, and in Nanda Bhavan, you'll see Mother Jashoda. Right? Come back after 10 lifetimes of Brahma, you go to Mother Jashoda's house, she'll still be there. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But in the material world, yes, the principles of that you're going to have a body, you're going to enjoy, you all these different things. But the point is it's going to be different ones. Different situations, different names, different everything. And so because you get attached to one, you lose. While the other one, because Krishna is the central, it's all in connection with Krishna.
It's like fastest in the universe.
But Maharaj, can we say that Jaimini followed the main goal is sense gratification.
Main goal is sense gratification.
And since there are a lot of varieties of sense gratification.
Yeah, then the idea is you can always keep yourself busy.
Yes.
But the point is what happens when you do this for some time? You lose interest because there's no satisfaction for the soul.
Yes.
Right? Because the birth, death, old age, and disease is not a problem for the body. It's a problem for the soul. So that's the thing, is just saying that there's no separate, the soul is eternal, otherwise how do you go to the heavenly planets? But they don't say that there's a separate body of knowledge connected with the self. Their point is this knowledge is only there, how the self can be engaged in karma.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're very fixed in that they're going to enjoy themselves. They're very confident in that. So, but the difficulty comes up is that, and you can see is that they can deal with every aspect of the philosophy.
Yes.
Right? That's what makes them superior to the other four schools.
Yes.
But not Vedanta.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't accept the knowledge of the soul where Vedanta does. So Vedanta has all the knowledge they have and more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point. And then Vaishnava Vedanta then has the about the Lord and that relationship, so devotional service.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. In response to this, the deep meaning is this. The Atma is not an eternal form of knowledge, but possesses a transformation of knowledge. But it is also temporary, though it undergoes transformation. For it is said, Vikriya jnana rupasya na nityatve. Virudyate. There is no contradiction of the Atma's eternal nature, even if it has changing knowledge. Right? Because the Atma has changing knowledge, is that it has knowledge that's changing by its environment. You're in one body, you have one body of knowledge. You're in another, you have another body of knowledge. So that's not a problem for the soul. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, so this must be, we've said this. This knowledge is temporary, having a beginning, and is fragmented. So we've said that. So they respond that the Atma, so even it doesn't matter if it keeps changing. Mm. Right? As long as they can enjoy themselves, yes. What does it matter if it keeps changing? Yes. Right? And so then they'll say, enjoyment is better than renunciation because of the impossibility of change in the liberated state when one has no senses. Because of the consequent impossibility of attaining the highest goal by being totally inactive. In verse 16, however, the Lord emphasizes the path of enjoyment is the cause of obstacles in order to propose detachment. Right? So, the obstacles that come up, then the Jaimini will just look past that and just go, oh, but some more will come. While Krishna's pointed out that actually, no, these obstacles that come up are so that you'll have a doubt. And you'll start to see, I as the soul, I want to always be happy. Why is it that there is, you know, I'm getting these temporary results? Why am I suffering? Right? Sri Krishna continued, it can be seen that the performer of karmas is powerless, since he experiences both happiness and suffering. What goal is achieved by helplessness? The learned person is not always happy, and the fool is not always suffering. Right? Only persons with false pride will claim that one can always be happy by performing karmas. Right? So they'll be very proud of their position. That's the thing. When you see those who are very pious and are attached to that, they're very proud of their position. Right? Because they think that by that they're superior, everything will go nicely. Even if people know how to achieve happiness and avoid unhappiness, they still do not know the process by which death can be averted. So even you do that, still you're going to die. Mm-hmm. Right? What object or desire can bring a person happiness? Death standing next to you does not bring satisfaction. Similarly, the person being led to the place of execution cannot be satisfied by an offering of sweets. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. One may claim, well, at least before death, one can have happiness, right? You know, like the final meal, you know, it's like whatever they want, they can have, you know. Well, at least you can, yeah. That is not so. Objects or the desire arising from them cannot make one happy, because death, being present nearby, does not give happiness. When the criminal is to be executed, is brought to the execution place, and is offered as much sweet rice as he can eat, that offering will not bring happiness. Thus, material objects and desires for them are not the goal of life. Right? So that's why he's pointing out, is that if satisfying the senses actually can't give satisfaction in these situations, then actually that's not the goal of the soul. The soul wants to be eternal. They don't like the idea the body is changing. So that means they want a situation that's eternal. Mm-hmm. Right? So these are the symptoms. That's what Krishna has been pointing out beforehand. Is the soul is looking for something else because the difficulties that come up aren't pleasing to the soul. Therefore, you look for some alternative. Right? Yes. From the material consciousness. And that's the spiritual. Right? But Jaimini, they get around that because they just want to be the enjoyer. While on the transcendental platform, then we are the enjoyed. We're servants of Krishna. Sri Krishna continued, that material happiness of which we hear, footnote 12, Prahlad Maharaj calls this shruti sukha, simply pleased to hear of. Right? We hear about the happiness. We don't necessarily get the happiness. You know, it's just like you talk about, yeah, we could do this. When you go to do it, it wasn't so impressive. You know? Like that. Such a promotion to heavenly planets for celestial enjoyment is just like that material happiness we have already experienced. Both are polluted by jealousy, envy, decay, and death. That's going to happen. means whatever material happiness we have is polluted because of jealousy, envy, decay, and death. Right? Somebody's jealous, we're envious, this and that. All these things are going on. You know? It will get less and less, and you'll die. So even when you go to the heavenly planets, even though it may be greater than what's here, it still has the same problems. Does that make sense? So it's still going to be there. You go to Nandankana and you want to sit and enjoy in your place that you always go to, and somebody else is there. Right? And you've showed up with, you know, your entourage, their entourage is bigger. You've shown up with your fabulous paraphernalia, theirs is even better. You know, you get grumpy, go back to your house, which is really great, but that guy's house is even bigger. You know what I'm saying? It's always like that. So there's always that jealousy and envy. Then it's going to get less, and then at one point it goes away. Right? That's how it works. No, means the place goes away. It means you go away. Your house will stay right there, but you won't be there anymore. You just disappear, that's all. Because no one dies in heaven. So they'll kick you out of heaven, and then you can die outside. You know, it's just like saying, you know, our hospital's so good, no one's ever died in this hospital. So people will go. So if someone's a terminal case, they're going to die, they'll just take the gurney outside. They die in the parking lot. You know? That's the heavenly planet. You know, we say, oh, so nice. But you're going to die outside. That's where you're going to die. At least here you can die in your house. Right? You know, there, no, they kick you right out. You know, so these are all in the fine print. You know, most people don't read this stuff, you know, like that. It's all in the, what do you call it? Standard contract, right? No one reads it, right?
Okay. Same thing nice for the birth? Take birth? No?
No, there you take birth, but as soon as you're born, then within a few hours you grow up to be 16. Like that. You know, so, you know, because there is some little, it means, it's like that first being with the baby and this and that, that's always nice, but then doing that for not sleeping and not like that for 2 years, that's not as nice, you know, like that. And then that's just the point where now it's a little bit less. So until they get to the point where they're mature and now can do, now it's okay. So they just have it there because they have any planets. They're born and then within, you know, a few hours they grow up to full size. And then they walk off. So then if you did like it, then it's like, you know, see you later. You know, like that. Also is that you don't get pregnant until the last year that you're going to be there. So if you get pregnant, you know you only have that year to go. Okay. So then the child's born, and then after they're born, then after that you're going to die. So then how much can you enjoy all this? Because that's the whole point. When death is there, then you know. You know, Indra's garden fades. He knows he's going. So how much can he enjoy? He's still in his court, and all the apsaras, now he can't enjoy anymore. So, but you don't see those shastras on karma talking about this. You know, it's just, oh yeah, we don't talk about that. You know, it's like, does that make sense?
Detail.
Yeah. You know, it's like going to the old age home and asking, you know, so what percentage of the people, you know, are, you know, depressed while they're here and that because of the sense of death and that? Oh no, we don't talk about this. You know, this is a happy place. People come here to be happy. You know, they just won't talk about it.
But, yeah. They define which portions they're supposed to be attached to and detached to.
Yes. So it just offers what is going seemingly going to be nice, and avoids talking about those things that won't be nice. Well, you see, Vedanta, it has no problems talking about what's not nice about material life. You know, that's the
direct way.
Yeah, that's why, therefore, birth, death, old age, disease. It just immediately comes right up. You know. Therefore, just as an attempt to raise crops becomes fruitless, if there are many problems like crop disease, insect plague, or drought. Similarly, the attempt to attain material happiness, either on earth or in the heavenly planets, is always fruitless because of innumerable obstacles. So even though it's that, you'll always think, oh, it'll get better, we'll do this, we'll do that. You know, Indra's always thinking, oh, if we defeat the demons, then we'll be happy. You know, then they're back. Right? You know, like, you know, it's like, you know, one time he's sitting there on his throne. Literally, a buffalo comes up and knocks him off his throne and sits down. And no one can get rid of the buffalo. You can imagine that? You're king of heaven and a buffalo kicks you out? Right? You know, you don't mind if it's someone, you know, much higher status than you. Prajapati comes along and says, you know, beat it, I'm sitting here. You know, okay, you know, you don't mind moving over. But a buffalo. Yeah.
Indra always says this. Remember in the Bhagavatam, the dwarf, he comes and saves me, Kamana. How he does that?
Gets saved by a dwarf, yeah, right, you know, so that's the thing. Bali Maharaj comes in with his unlimited army, right, you know, so then you're freaking out, because you have this nice place, and an unlimited army walks in, so as we're saying, one end you have the buffalo, the other this unlimited, and then what is he saved by? A dwarf, right, you know, so, yeah, Krishna has it, so it's not all perfect, that's the whole thing, there's always obstacles. Innumerable obstacles. Just no one talks about it. Just like you say, yeah, if you get money, you study hard, you get a good marks and that, then you get a good job and that, and then you have lots of money, then you'll be happy, you can take care of everything, like that. did we miss something here? Any little details they didn't mention about? Yeah.
The obstacle.
Huh?
We didn't mention about the obstacle.
No. Why should we mention that? You know. Yeah. So that's this philosophy. It just doesn't mention the obstacles. They just take it. Yeah.
I here think that Jaini focus more on being the enjoyer, and then like Vaisheshika and then Sankhya focuses more on being the controller.
Yes.
And then because it focuses being the enjoyer, majority of the general populace.
Yeah, well, all like that.
Yes.
But at the same time as you have is that general population, because trying to enjoy, they're all suffering. Then they also don't mind hearing from the Mayavadis that, you know, they can just get liberated and then be happy.
Yes.
So, you know, so there's this whole, that's the whole thing. It's just a particular combination of the modes of whether, what kind of karmi, what kind of jnani, and you know, the mix of that's there. Like that. Yes, but that's. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. It has just been said that there is no happiness in this world. There's no happiness in the next world, right? So there's no happiness here. When you go to heavenly planets, it still won't be any happiness. The happiness of swarga, shrutam, like the happiness of the present world, is spoiled by intolerance of others' happiness, attributing fault to others' good qualities. By death and gradual destruction of what little happiness swarga gives by enjoying it, and because one obtains happiness only after overcoming defects in actions of sacrifice. It is just like farming, where sometimes there is no result. Just like you said, you can go to the heavenly planets. Gajendra, was he not on the heavenly planets? Mm-hmm. Right? So it took a lot of piety. And being on the heavenly planets, was he not the king of the elephants? Right? So he had a big position. But he was an elephant. You know, so just because you attain the heavenly planets doesn't mean that it's always going to be exactly how you thought. Sri Krishna continued, if one performs Vedic sacrifices and fruit of rituals without any mistake or contamination, one will achieve a heavenly situation in the next life. But even this result, which is only achieved by perfect performance of fruit of rituals, will be vanquished by time. Now hear of this. Right? So even if you do your yajna perfectly, no mistakes like this, you can attain the heavenly planets. But then the problem is time will vanquish that. And no one likes that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, Even if one performs acts without discrepancies, one cannot eliminate suffering. This is explained in 5 verses, 22 to 26. Sri Krishna continued, if on earth one performs sacrifices for the satisfaction of the demigods, he goes to the heavenly planets, where, just like a demigod, he enjoys all of the heavenly pleasures he has earned by his performances. Having achieved the heavenly planets, the performer of ritualistic sacrifices travels in a glowing airplane, which he obtains as the result of his piety on earth. Being glorified by songs sung by Gandharvas, and dressed in wonderfully charming clothes, he enjoys life surrounded by heavenly goddesses. Accompanied by heavenly women, the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice goes on pleasure rides in a wonderful airplane, which is decorated with circles of tinkling bells, and which flies wherever he desires. Right, because that's why it mentions about the Vimana Devatas. Mm-hmm. Because that's one aspect, is where they're just, they're basically what they do is just fly around in their airplane. You know? Mm. Like that. Because it's all happening. It's not, you know, you go to heavenly planets, you don't have to worry that the seating in the airplane is going to be economy. Right? You know? It's big enough, you, your associates, it's all happening in your airplane. Being relaxed, comfortable, and happy in the heavenly pleasure gardens, he does not consider that he is exhausting the fruits of his piety and will soon fall down to the mortal world. Point is it's like going on vacation. You go to this nice place, it's a fabulous place, you know, heavenly kind of environment, all 5-star arrangements and everything like that. And so then we think it's very nice, but what we're try to avoid paying attention to is our money is running out. You know, and then whatever is the time you're going to stay there, you know, then when it runs out, you know, your package or whatever it is, then you, that's it. You have to check out. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's what's going to happen, is that you're unaware. You're just thinking the enjoyment and it'll go on forever, because the soul, then being inclined towards happiness, because that's his nature, right? Then they're connecting with those activities that are correct, so they're connecting with the aspect of Brahman, so they're experiencing that eternal flavor in connection with Brahman. They think it's the object itself. It's actually Krishna's potency that makes that object enjoyable. Right? Because otherwise, flying around an airplane, why would that be enjoyable? Because Krishna empowers it that way. So then contacting that, then you think this will be eternal. But it's not, it's temporary. So the experience you're getting is connected with the eternal, though on a very minor level. That's why then you think it will go forever. And you want it to go forever. Right? Because the soul is eternal and Krishna is eternal. So that connection then should be eternal. But because we're not connecting it to Krishna, we're not getting an eternal result. We're getting a temporary result because we think this airplane is what's giving me pleasure. Rather than Krishna's potency that makes this happen, and why this would even be enjoyable is coming from Krishna. Therefore, remembering Krishna, you're absorbed in Krishna. Like who is in the airplane? Chitraketu, yes. Like that. He's remembering the Lord. So therefore, even it temporarily didn't work out. He didn't have his airplane anymore. He became this big demon. He's still remembering Krishna. And even he gets killed by Indra, he goes back to Godhead. And then Indra, the victorious, then he gets to stay here. Yeah. So circles of tinkling bells. Yeah, they kind of left out the tinkling bells. Even on the sleighs and other things that bells, or the animals that have the bells. But nowadays they don't have bells. Being relaxed, comfortable, and happy. Okay. He does not consider that he is exhausting the fruits of his piety and will soon fall down to the material world, mortal world. Unless his pious results are used up, the performer of sacrifice enjoys life in the heavenly planet. When the pious results are exhausted, however, he falls down from the pleasure gardens of heaven, being moved against his desire by the force of eternal time. So now when he falls, now he's not going to be happy. Right? So but he's forced by time. So even though he desires to be, he can't, it's not going to happen.
So Maharaj, in the heavenly planet, there is no possibility to maintain by doing good work.
When you're at that resort in Bali and that, is there anything you can do to stay longer?
No.
There's nothing you can do there, right?
No.
That's it?
Unless to work for the police.
Yeah, if you want to wash pots there and all that, but then, you know, I'm not sure that that would... Yeah. You'd have to really like Bali, right?
To do it for a few years to stay one night.
You wouldn't be able to stay in that room. Yeah. You know, you'd have to demote yourself. Yeah, because even you say you're going to work, but then you couldn't stay in that place.
Yes.
Yeah, so then your piety runs out. Then you come down to whatever it is. So, depending upon, in other words, you don't have enough piety to maintain the heavenly planets. It doesn't mean you have zero piety. So, depending upon how much piety is left, that then situates you here on the earthly realms.
Yes.
Right. So when it's basically, you know, quite run out, then you're here.
Yes.
Otherwise, you might be in the other places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other six islands. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. Or that's all the more. You only got there. You didn't get to those heavenly planets.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then within here, some people are more rich. Some people are more poor. Like this. So just depends upon how it went.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Sri Krishna continued, if a human being is engaged in sinful, irreligious activities, either because of bad association or because of his failure to control his senses, then such a person will certainly develop a personality full of material desires. He thus becomes miserly towards others, greedy and always anxious to exploit the bodies of women. When the mind is so polluted, one becomes violent and aggressive, and without the authority of Vedic injunctions, slaughters innocent animals for sense gratification. Worshipping ghosts and spirits, the bewildered person falls fully into the grip of unauthorized activities and thus goes to hell, where he receives a material body infected by the darkest modes of nature. In such a degraded body, he unfortunately continues to perform inauspicious activities that greatly increase his future unhappiness. And therefore he again accepts a similar material body. What possible happiness can there be for one who engages in activities inevitably terminating in death? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, there are two types of persons qualified for action, the religious and sinful. The destination of the religious has been described, 22 to 26. The destination of sinful is now described. The word va indicates that some people by their nature cannot control their senses. Because they are full of desires, they become miserable and then become overcome by thirst for enjoyment. Right? They're miserable because you can't get the enjoyment.
Yes.
You will have so much desire but no way to fulfill it, so they become miserable. Right? And because desires are unlimited, then basically you'll always be miserable. They indulge in women and for that purpose commit violence to other beings. They kill animals against the rules. It is said, Siene na bicharan ya yajeta. One should worship by offering sacrificial victims to inflict injury on others. Apastamba Shrauta Sutra 22.4.13. They end up in the worst darkness, as plants. Right? Verse 29 summarizes, there's no happiness in performing actions. Right? So, these sinful actions, there can't be any happiness. People are doing them to be happy, but it'll only give them worse and worse situation until they end up as plants. Right? So, in other words, as non-moving living entities. Like that. So, that's the difficulty. Yeah, so it makes that the ghosts and all that, and Krishna says that unauthorized offering sacrificial victims to inflict injury on others. So you offer animals in the sacrifice, then that will, and through that you can inflict problems on other people. So we see this when you get into the Tantra and all those kind of things like that. these things happen a lot. That's the people, they worship, you know, ghosts and all this and that, just to get powers to do all kinds of weirdo stuff. Does that make sense? So, you end up as a plant.
Right.
So, not really worth it. Right. Sri Krishna continued, in all the planetary systems, from the heavenly to the hellish, and for all of the great demigods who live for 1,000 yuga cycles, there is fear of me in my form of time. Right? So that means all of the planetary systems. Even Brahma, who possesses the supreme lifespan of 311 trillion, 40 billion years, is also afraid of me. Even though, you know, it's a bit, a good bit of time, and still he's afraid. Right? The material senses create material activities, either pious or sinful, and the modes of nature set the material senses into motion. The living entity, being fully engaged in the material senses and modes of nature, experiences the various results of fruitive work. So depending what you do, you get the pious, you get the impious, but they both give misery. That's the point. One seems to give, but it ends up misery. The other one, why are people doing similar? They think they're also enjoying.
Yes.
You know? So, Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura writes, verse 28, explained that the sinful person goes to hell, though he does not desire it. How does the jiva lose control? That is explained in this verse. The senses produce visible and invisible results from actions such as worship of devatas, enjoying one's wife or others, or others' wives, hearing and other sense activities, farming or trading. The three gunas create those senses. The jiva endowed with his senses and the three gunas experiences the good and bad results of his action. Right, Krishna mentions that in Gita. It's just the jiva just goes around through the cycle of samsara, just enjoying the results of his action. Good, you get, it means from good work you get good situations. From bad work you get bad situations. Right? But the idea that you're going to enjoy, that remains the same. So both suffer. Right? But we have an idea of a particular situation is good, so even if someone's in that situation, we think they must be happy.
Yes.
But they're not.
Yes.
Right? You know, I've heard it said that the happiness of the rich person is the thought that the poor people think he's happy. That's his happiness. Because he doesn't have.
Yeah.
Right? Because just like the poor person has problem with relatives and with, you know, other people, and in, you know, whatever he does is an occupation and this and that and the elements and, you know, everything like that. The rich person has the same thing. Right? You think there's no mosquitoes in the golf course? Right? Plenty of mosquitoes. What do you think's going on in that water trap? Mosquitoes, right? That's where they live. Right? You know, so it's always going on. It's just that others project that if I'm in this situation, I'll be happy. Right? That's what our happiness is. Shruti Sukhat means, I think, if I'm in that, I'll be happy. But when you get there, you find you're just as unhappy as now, because whatever situation you're in now, there are people thinking, wow, if I was in that situation, I'd be happy. Huh? Yeah.
So why we always trying to solve our problems by changing situation, is that like the easiest or?
Yeah, it's in line with, if you go back to that, what we were discussing before, is that if you have the primary, you know, or Krishna as the real goal, as the real, you know, value, then the change around doesn't affect your actual happiness.
Yeah.
Right? But when you remove Krishna from it, all you have is secondary.
Yes.
Right? If you get rid of the Icha, all you have is Jnana and Kriya. That's all you have. So then within that, you're going to, and those are situations and activities and results gained in those situations. But it doesn't actually have any rasa to it because it's not connected to Krishna. Right? It'll have something, it's seemingly, but it's that backup. You know, it's just like on the musical instrument. It has the main strings they play in, and it has the sympathetic. So if it's in line, it vibrates. But it's not actually, you know, that's not the main thing. You have to play things. It's just that's... So the jnana and the kriya, they vibrate in line with the icha to support. Right? So the situation that they produce is favorable for that particular rasa. Right? Like Krishna's with the cowherd boys. So therefore then Yoga Maya will arrange that all the situations there and activities and moods then match their rasa that they're tasting. Does that make sense? Right? So that's why Mother Jashoda does not show up out there. Right? Because otherwise she'd be chastising them, don't be so rough and you're going to mess up your clothes and, you know, all that. And, you know, is your mother going to be happy seeing you like this? And, you know, all these kind of things. You know, sit down, eat, you know. No, don't eat that. Eat this first. You know, all that kind of stuff. So, therefore, Yogamaya makes it favorable. Does that make sense? So, because for that rasa, that's the favorable. Right? Mother Jashoda, then what happens at her pace, then that's favorable for the parental. So all the parental rasa comes there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, if we take away the actual rasa, then you're left with the secondary. And then from the secondary, then it's just situational. What of it can it actually make you happy? So it really doesn't matter what situation you're in. The soul can't be happy. Right? Does that make sense? But there's certain things that give certain moods. So according to your modes, you're inclined towards certain kind of moods and experiences. Therefore, certain situations support that. Just like let's say we take someone who loves nature and natural things and natural lifestyle, right? And we plunk them down in the, you know, presidential suite in the best 5-star hotel. They're not going to be comfortable. Right? Likewise, the guy who would be comfortable in that place, you take him and plunk him down, you know, in some little lean-to out in the middle of the forest, he's not going to be happy either. So according to what you find is your taste and what you call that, the situations that match that. So it's the same like in the spiritual world, but there it's what is the rati for Krishna. But here it's the rati is for the situations themselves, the secondary aspects of emotions and experiences that are coming from the secondary items. Does that make sense? Means the cowherd boys are running around with Krishna. Running around gives an experience, but it only has a value in connection with Krishna to them. You remove Krishna, all you have left is the experience you get from running around. So you're getting rid of the unlimited aspect and just that little thing. Because Krishna is rasa, that means everything will have some aspect in it. Just like he's independent. And we as jivas have a small amount of independence, but it's not enough independence to actually establish independence. Does that make sense? So, yeah. And you wouldn't be able to raise a flag because the flag's so much bigger than you. 1/10,000 the tip of the hair, you know, you can't do anything. So. So that's the idea, is that the living entities are always going to suffer because they're taking it to secondary. So it doesn't matter what situation you're in, it's not going to satisfy the soul. And it's always going to have obstacles because the principle of the material world having obstacles is all-pervading. So it's not that, oh no, only sinful things have obstacles. No, pious things also. Yes. So the material world has obstacles. Yes. That's the principle. Yes. So you can elevate yourself to better qualities of situations, so therefore, you know, more refined, how you say, obstacles. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have the two guys on the street, and they have a disagreement with each other. You know, it's going to be rough and wild, and what they say, and this and that, you know, like that. You know, you need to, you know, does that make sense? I say, ears will burn, right? But now let's go up into a much more refined, you're talking about, billionaires and all that, then they may talk in a much more subdued way and stuff like that, because they know that they'll smile to your face and they will get you. Like that, so they know the weakness. Otherwise, why are they smiling? So they may use nice language, nice things. Where it happened wasn't out on the street. It was in some nice, office or lobby or something like that. And, also a nice restaurant, a nice meal. But the point is it's still going to create the same obstacle. The other guy lost $10, from this. That guy's going to lose, $10 million or $10 billion. But the point is it's the same obstacle. Does that make sense? But because we see things as situational, we think there isn't that obstacle. Oh no, their situation is better than mine, so they can't be suffering. But it is, because everybody's just dealing with the secondary. No one's dealing with the primary. They will suffer. Only when the soul connects the secondary to Krishna, that's when they'll be happy. Right? So Jaimini is saying, no, but this goes on. It's, it's eternal and it will go on and it keeps changing, yes, but it's not a problem. Like that. Therefore, they're fools.
It's like a carrot smudge.
Yes, it's like a carrot. Yeah, but then who's following the carrot? Right? The donkey. That's the whole point. So they're not intelligent. The carrot's eternal. But it's always in front of you. You never get the carrot. Yeah, you don't ever hear about the donkey getting the carrot.
No, yes.
He gets the dry grass, and then the guy who's, managing the carrot, he gets the carrot. Right? He's managing the donkey. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.